I've got like I'm really into Game of Thrones here lately, so you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Nope.
I watched a couple seasons. I got to catch up.
What season you on, Nick?
I don't. That's what I was trying to remember the other day. Probably like three. I kept falling asleep always, and I just rewind it and then fall asleep.
I
It's a little like
know.
a little too little action and too much talking for me. I like Vikings better.
Oh yeah, Vikings.
It's really slow.
Hey, let's talk about that on the podcast. All right, let's do the
What?
intro.
Vikings?
What
Hey,
about
should we have what?
we'll talk about Joffrey Baratheon.
Yeah.
He's the man.
And
All
the
right.
all right, let's do that. Let's have Millar do the intro. Millar, so
No,
you say,
no, no, no,
yeah,
no.
come on, what the fuck?
All right, here we go.
No, no.
Ready?
So you welcome to Talking
Millar, don't be a
Talker.
little bitch.
Yeah, Talking Talker.
Hell no.
Here we go. Ready? Here and
Millar.
What?
Here it comes.
You're going.
Here we go.
So you welcome to Talking Talker. You just
wait,
introduce
wait till the
everyone.
music hits, which is right about
Oh, jeez.
Dennis.
Dennis is off his
You're
game.
There we go.
This is
This
great.
dude's off his game bad, man.
Yeah, it's like he went through traumatic experience.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Welcome to episode, what episode is this?
12.
Episode 12 of Talker Talker with DC, Nick Swimner, Dennis Rodriguez, and Duck.
That wasn't all that bad.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty good.
Sadly,
that
was
better,
much better than
Dennis's, right?
A yeah. little monotone.
That's all right.
It was much better than Dennis's, honestly.
Yeah.
Right?
We got through it.
I did get through
it. So I think we should start only one place. There's only one place to start. I mean,
yeah.
On the last episode of the Talking Talker podcast, you know, man, our guy Dennis, he went all in. I mean, we had that challenge with the hot wings, and old Dennis went all in. And Dennis, you know, you kept walking off, leaving. And as I left the podcast, you were coming back from another 45-minute walk, and just you seemed to be in a ton of pain.
Yeah, so I was like a wounded animal after that thing. So I just took off running, and I ended up walking laps around the building until just because the pain was so bad. And then, I mean, it kept coming in and out, but then it got really bad when I got home. And
like it was just hot everywhere, or part hurt, or what?
It literally felt like an alien was coming out of my chest, and it kept coming in like 5-minute waves. It was insane. But I walked in, my wife looks at me, and she's like, "What's going on?" Because she had no idea I was doing this wing challenge. And then I was like, I waved her off, and I went to the bedroom, and I just laid there, and it just every 5 minutes just kept getting worse and worse. And then next thing you know, I was in blinding pain. And then you know, my wife's like, do I need to take you to the hospital? And I was like, I don't think I can make it. And then she ended up calling the ambulance.
wait, that's not funny. That's not funny
at all.
That's not funny.
So I was trying to walk to the car, and I just collapsed on the stairs outside, and just moaning the entire thing. Neighbors must think I'm
like,
insane.
What did it sound like?
It was like like that. Like it was pretty painful. So my
what
wife,
time? What time is this?
This was like I think it was like 10 o'clock, 10:30.
We got out of here probably what like. I don't even remember, 8 o'clock or something.
Because I did, you know, I wanted to, you know, not go to the hospital, but so ambulance shows up, fire truck shows up, the police show up.
And what'd you tell them? I just did.
I couldn't even talk. My wife was
challenge.
My wife. I told my wife, and my wife was like talking to them, saying, you know, he ate some hot wings, you know, and I'm laying on the couch and gripping my chest the entire time, just screaming the entire time, and. So they walk me, they carry me out of the house and throw me in the ambulance. And we ended up driving to the hospital. And then I don't remember most of the hospital or the ride to the hospital because it was pretty painful. And then after that, I got to the hospital. I think we got there around 11 o'clock. And then they ended up just pumping me with painkillers. So for about 3-4 hours, they were going through all these tests, taking picture of my heart and all this crap, making sure I'm not dying. And they ended up, I guess, giving me 3 rounds of equivalent to morphine because the pain was so bad. And so we didn't get out of there till 5 a.m. the next day, and then went home. And my wife had to go to work at 6:30 the next morning, so so she slept for an hour and then went to work.
Jesus.
But
so yeah. What was the verdict?
So what happened is I threw an atom bomb on an ulcer that I had.
You didn't know you had an ulcer?
Did not know I had an ulcer. So I threw hot sauce, drinking beer, which is I'm gluten intolerant, and then a little bit of lactose on top. It was just like destroyed my stomach.
But it was mostly the
But it was mostly the hot wings, yeah.
Because you drink beer most days.
Yeah, like a
or
little
some
bit.
Kind of liquor.
Yeah, some kind of liquor. But so right now I'm a boiled chicken, boiled rice, and no drinking for a couple weeks.
What else can't you? So what can't you have?
No salt, no nothing fried.
Just water. Man,
Jesus.
So it's,
so the chef was also sick. He was like about to cry. He was about to cry when we left, right? Because he was feeling so bad. And then he was mad at me because for some reason he took it out on me. I didn't make him do the challenge. He's looking at me with like just he was just pissed off. And I was like, hey, listen, I didn't make you do the challenge. So we get in the car and he just sits there and he's like quiet and not talking. We get home and I'm upstairs in my room and all we hear is like he's downstairs in the bathroom hurling. And Selena calls me. She goes, Daniel, you need to go check on your nephew. I'm like, for what? She goes, you made him do those hot wings. And now look at this. He's all messed up. She's like, that is a shame. And I'm like, Selena, I didn't make him. I told him there was a challenge. I go, and he did it. So then the next morning he gets up. The guy works at like 3 a.m. So he gets up and he leaves for work. Goes to work, starts to vomit. So they send him home. So I get up at like 8:45. He's back in his room sleeping. I'm like, what happened? He goes, man, I threw up so bad. He goes, and it was pink because he drank an entire bottle of Pepto-Bismol trying to make his stomach feel better. So they were like, this dude's got some serious shit going on. We got to send him home. And then, well, this is like 8 o'clock. Well, 5 o'clock I wake up. And I've got a text from my old buddy Nick, and he goes, I just got this from Dennis. It was Dennis fucking...
In a hospital bed.
Hospital bed, bed skirt. What is that shit they call it? The gown on, hospital gown. Complete. And not and laying there with his left hand over his forehead, like trying to hide his face. He was demolished. I felt horrible. And then I text him and he doesn't respond to me. I'm like, hey man, I'm sorry about your stomach. He just fucking is mad at me, so he doesn't respond. Everybody was pissed off at me like it was my fault.
Yeah, my wife was like, you really shouldn't have done that to Dennis. I'm like, I didn't do anything. Like, if DC even brought people to do the challenge, Dennis just jumped in.
I thought I could I
listened to the whole thing again. I'm like, please, please, please tell me there's not a point in there where Dennis is like, please, guys, no more. And we're like, no, fuck you. Keep going. I'm like, luckily there wasn't. Now Blurry might have tried a couple of times, and he might have got family
it,
love.
Go,
to,
dude. Fucking toughen up. Oh, man. That was bad.
So we're going to postpone the Smoke Eater Challenge for at least a week or two, right?
Yeah, Dennis will do it again in a couple weeks.
Sweet.
This dude, hey, Dennis will never, you'll never eat Smoke Eaters again, will you?
Never, never. It was bad. It was bad.
You had to be like, fuck, I am dying from some hot wings.
No, not at all. I was actually, it was pretty embarrassing. I was in so much pain, I started yelling at the nurses at the hospital to... Because it was, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out because I was in so much pain for so long that I actually was contemplating. So maybe I should choke myself out or something just to be asleep for this whole fiasco.
But I remember when we saw you when we were leaving, you were like, I just can't stop moving. If I stop moving, I start freaking out because I start thinking I'm having a heart attack. And then I keep telling myself, dude, you're psyching yourself out. Just keep moving.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
If we had the video of Blurry lying on the sidewalk puking with Dennis just walking speed laps around the building, looking at him every couple of minutes.
He said he walked out. He said he saw Dennis. He said he saw Dennis throwing up.
No.
Said not throwing up. He said he saw Dennis like laying down or like really hurting on the side. Yeah. And he said he started laughing. He said that he started laughing. He started throwing up.
What a fiasco.
That was let me tell you something. The response was great. People loved watching you guys do the Smoke Eaters Challenge. It was very surprising, Dennis.
His fan club emerged.
Oh, my goodness. The amount of support. I don't know. Obviously, you weren't aware of it because you were so sick. But I mean, when we were doing this this Snapchat or whatever this thing is called we were doing, everybody was going, let's go, Dennis. We like Dennis. Dennis, you can beat these dudes. Let's go, Dennis. And it was just constant praise for the old boy. You
one
know,
guy
they were
was
trying
like,
to, they were trying to cheer on the old stallion.
One guy was like, Dennis, don't be such a pussy. Eat the one more. And then he saw you drink the milk, and he's like, wait a minute. He's lactose intolerant. I take that back. He's not a pussy.
Wait, but I won, though, right? I ate 5.5 wings.
No, but you guys all ate 5.
Yeah, they all caught up to you in the end.
Oh, they did?
No
they
one got, to, no got, one got to 6.
Well, I ate 5.5, technically.
What was crazy was B. Crutch, right?
Yeah, Brian Crutchmer.
He was like on 1 when you were on 4. And then he just kind of like slowly and steady got to 5. It was weird. Because we kept saying, what are you on? He kept saying, I'm still on 1. And it was like.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of crazy hospital stories, Millar can't tell this one, but Millar's got a good hospital story.
Oh, no, I don't.
Millar had to call the ambulance once to take him to the hospital.
What happened, Millar?
Millar, come on.
I don't know what happened.
Please share.
Well, Millar, it wasn't a hot wing challenge. Millar ate something and decided that he was dying and having a heart attack, and so he had to.
What did you eat?
He had to have his wife call the hospital, and he had to go there. He had to say goodbye to his family.
I ate something potent. Really, really potent.
Well, I mean, when you watch a guy start to do his last will, and you know, his last will, you're like, this is uncomfortable. I mean, I told you guys I watched Bob make out his last will, and it was freaky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, seeing him doing that, probably thinking he was dying, that had to be pretty funny.
Yeah, no, I came back and I heard Millar saying, I was like, he tells me this story, and I'm like, wait, you had to go to the ambulance? Like, what did they say when they picked you up? And he's like, I don't know.
Millar,
like,
what did you eat?
And then he's
I
like,
want to know best.
And then he's like, well, the worst part was I was telling my wife and daughter, I'm sorry I did this to myself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is the end. I didn't mean to go out like this.
What?
And I'm just thinking, yeah. I know this must have been traumatic, but this is probably the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. So.
Why do we find joy in people's misfortune? I think it's the funniest shit ever. Like, when guys are like, when they're, I thought it was funny for a while watching Dennis and Justin are blurry going through the hot wing thing, but then when Justin was home from work and Dennis was in the freaking hospital, I was like, man, we went too far. We finally fucking went too far.
L was the only one with like a conscience. He kept saying, hey, dude, this guy, he was looking at Dennis, and he's like, he's shaking. Like, his hands are shaking.
He was worried about Dennis.
This was when Dennis was still in it. He's like, dude, seriously, he's shaking. This guy over here is shaking.
Oh, my God.
Hey, DC, did you sign a waiver for those wings or when you bought them?
No, man, they just give it to you. Jesus. Like, because people do the challenge all the time. Like, you know what's the worst is you take the, you got to lick all that sauce off your fingers, and it's like cake. And then you have to sit there for 5 minutes with nothing. Afterburn.
Think of that now.
Worst.
Now that we know, in hindsight, that Dennis had an ulcer, the fact that we're like, nope, 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 lick your fingers, nope, nope, you can't drink anything for the next 5 minutes is like, and you just picture like one of those videos where you see inside someone's stomach and it's just like all these little fucking creatures being like, no, give me water.
They were going nuts. They were actually going nuts. But that was fun for us, horrible for Dennis, horrible for Blurry. Pretty entertaining viewing, but I think we're going to steer away from the hot challenges for a while. But Dennis, are you ready to say that you're retired a week after? I know the day before you said, I'm officially retired. The day after you said, I'm officially retired from food challenges. Are you still that confident 8 days after?
Yes, absolutely. Completely retired, yeah.
From all food challenges or just hot wing challenges?
All food challenges. I realized my stomach isn't as strong as this when I was 20.
So now we got to do like, now we got to get a really, we got to do like, a, we got to do like heights and like death-defying stuff now for his challenges.
That's even worse. Yeah. I will try it. So
physical challenges. Yeah.
We're gonna have to get some bungees and stuff.
You know, so last week we kind of talked about it a little bit, and it was Nick was going to get his ring because it was almost the beginning of the NBA season. And on opening night, everybody's fired up. We had big games. We had the Rockets versus the Warriors. Go Rockets. We also had the Celtics versus the Cavs. And it's like, man, Kyrie gets to go back to Cleveland in the first game. But he's not going alone, you know. You know, he's got he's going with Al Horford, and he's going with Gordon Hayward, and he's going with a legit big three. He's going with a legitimate contender. And 5 minutes into the game, Gordon Hayward breaks his freaking ankle.
Yeah, that was gross.
I mean, how terrible is that?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I remember. I got the on Twitter. I saw it, and everyone's like, "Don't look, don't look, don't look." So I didn't want to look. But it's, yeah, that was crazy. Like his foot was sideways. It looked like his shoe fell off, but his foot was in it.
That's terrible.
How many times has he gone up and dunked the ball like that? I mean, how many times has he done that exact same thing, and you just fall wrong? I remember watching Paul George. Do the same thing, you know. But Paul George was actually doing it while playing for Team USA. So that's even worse because you're not even playing for your organization.
And Paul George, it made sense because he got his foot stuck in the stanchion.
Yeah.
And he also had skinny legs. Like Kevin Ware in Louisville had skinny legs. It's like Gordon Hayward was like, you know, it didn't seem like it just didn't. Yeah, it was weird. It just didn't.
My
seem
whole
like,
thing is these guys are legitimately giants, right? So when you think of giants, like people that are giant people, we think about these basketball players. Like they're some of these guys are 7 foot tall. How tall is Gordon Hayward? 6'9"? Dude, 6'9", 220 pounds. He's a beanpole, essentially. He's a beanpole that can run and jump like a freaking gazelle. Yeah. And it was unfortunate to see, man. And right when it happened, I started thinking back to when I had a high ankle sprain, right? And I thought, they told me it was much better than breaking it. And I was like, well, what if that's the case with Hayward, you know, because I just heard it. I hadn't saw it. And then I saw it, and I was like, nope, that's not the case. This dude's gone for the entire season, you know, so.
The player reactions was crazy on the other teams. I mean, because you got to sit. I mean, even if you don't play, all of a sudden you see something like that, and you're, like, aware of the fact that your body can break. How is that for, like, how is that as an athlete? Like, when you see Corey Hill or Anderson Silva break their leg, does it like affect you the first couple times you throw a kick in practice? Are you thinking like about it and then you just forget about it, or are you just able to compartmentalize everything, or you just think, ah, that's them, it's not me?
Well, my legs are fat to begin with. Like, I've got really, really fat calves and legs, so I'm like, well,
you have ankles?
I've got ankles, but it's almost like those guys have real skinny legs, right? It's like the guys you see with real skinny legs. And when you check a kick, it's almost like they're kicking into a solid bat. So it's different in that sense, but you don't expect your leg to break all, you know, just because you saw somebody else's leg break. The issue with the Anderson Silva thing was I was working the Fox desk, right? So they just kept showing it over and over and over to the point that I couldn't even watch it, man. I was like, oh my God. This is brutal.
Yawn break for DC. Hold on, he'll be back. There he is. He's back.
I'm back.
Man, if you guys could have seen the picture we saw.
No, this is, you guys can't see nothing.
It's like that. But it's like that poster of The Scream.
No, it was brutal, man. Because Anderson, he kicked and he kicked and he kicked, and you got to think, he got kicks checked before that one that broke his leg. So his leg, I imagine, would have kind of splintered, right? Not completely shattered. And then on the second kick, that splinter, man, you look at a stick, right? You hit the stick. It starts to break a little bit. And then after a while, it completely, like, breaks in half. And that's what happened to that man's leg. It was disgusting.
So you think the first kick, he was in pain. He knew something was a little bit wrong, but he figured it was just a bruise, and he just kept kicking?
Of course. Plus, like, I've had that. Like when I fight and I kick a lot, I feel it in my legs. My legs, they feel like they're just on fire for days afterwards. Like they're just beat up. They're just completely beat up.
Yeah, I don't understand when I'm always amazed that more feet aren't broken just from like kicking an elbow or kicking a leg or just kicking anything. My fucking toe or foot would probably break. It's not like you guys can really toughen up your toes and your feet, right?
No, it hurts. It hurts even in practice. You know, that's probably where it hurts the most, right? When you're kicking people in practice, because You're still kicking as hard as you can. You're wearing shin guards, but man, you're kicking hard. No shin guards don't protect you from kicking someone's elbow, you know? So those are the things that hurt probably the most, you know? And it doesn't go away right after the fight. You're a week and a half
now,
after the fight and still dealing with that.
You were talking about giants. You were talking about basketball players being giants. And that's one of the reasons we wanted Millar to come on, right? Obviously, if anyone knows Millar, they know that giants is the first thing that comes to mind. So how tall are you? I got a question. How tall are you?
5'8".
5'8". Good. Perfect. So I don't know if you guys watch Shark Tank. I was watching I'm 5'9". So I was watching Shark Tank on Sunday.
Wait, and you're 5'5". Don't lie.
No, there's
I'm 5'10".
Did you watch Shark Tank?
No, I didn't.
All right, so there's a company. DC's like 5'7 and a half, so he's under the two. But
shut up.
There was a company on there, and their whole pitch was dress shirts for short guys. And so they said, hey, us short guys, when we get dress shirts, they're either too baggy or they go down too low or the sleeves are too long. So they were like, well, what's considered short? And they're like, well, in the United States, we generally consider 5'8 and under to be short. So from what Millar just said, while we're on record here.
Oh, my God.
That would be amusing to no one except me. But anyways.
Boy.
Nick. Ah, that fell flat on its face.
We don't know. There could be people laughing in a couple of days when they're listening to this hysterically, and we'll never know. We'll never be able to prove otherwise.
I highly doubt it.
I'm going to get a bunch of fake Twitter accounts and be like, ha ha, 5'8", hilarious. 5'8", hilarious.
You'll be just like, do it. You better do it because it's going to need help. That will be the thing that we put on the picture that goes up. Nick makes a bad joke and it's just like time stamping. Yeah. Right at 22 minutes, Nick made a horrible joke.
Yeah. Although we do need to, I do watch that show and think, how did we not think of this? Or why did anyone think of this? It's one of those two things always.
Yeah.
As the basketball season has started, have you watched much basketball first week and a half?
Yeah, we got the league pass has been free. I just figured out. So I watched. You get a bunch of good games right now. It's league free league pass week. It ends, I think, maybe tomorrow.
The problem with the league pass is like, do you really? The only reason I don't like the league pass is part of my entertainment is watching the games and having Reggie Miller, Chris Webber, and those guys doing the play-by-play. So when I get, the Rockets channel, I have like the guy from the Rockets, I feel like they're just so biased, because either you get the Rockets station or you get the Knicks station. And if you're watching on the Knicks channel, it's all Knicks, pro Knicks and pro Rockets. And it's like, man, I just want to watch the game and hear the game talked about as unbiased as possible.
Well, how do you think us as MMA fans feel? I mean, we have to have apologies on the podcast every week for our commentators being too biased here. I don't know if this was a commercial into DC's next career where he's like, hey guys, the only reason to watch sports is the commentary. Or what is going on here?
No, I'm not saying it's because I'm saying like I like watching like in Chris Webber and those guys because I just don't like the it's so biased. Like I love the Saints and you guys know that. I can't watch any football games or radio, listen to when I'm driving in my truck and I'm listening to the game on the Sirius XM. If it's the Saints station, it's too much for me. I can't listen to it because they're me, right, Nick? I don't want to hear me watching the Saints game because I know how ridiculous I sound because my wife tells me every week, every time we miss a pass, I want pass interference. Every time we get blocked, I think they're holding us. And the people talking about the game are doing the same thing. I don't want to hear me.
Some of the broadcast teams are like pretty bad homers.
They're homers, man. Bad.
Yeah.
But aren't they paid by the Saints, right? If you're watching the Saints network, they're paid by the Saints.
Yeah, and so before League Pass, no one ever knew because the home fans thought, oh, this is just the way they call it, and then you're watching. It'd be cool if you could compare the two broadcasts and have one broadcast talking and the other one closed captioned so you could watch the same play and hear like two completely different views of it.
How good is Tony Romo? Have you heard Tony Romo calling the games yet?
He's pretty good. Millar's a big Cowboys fan. Let's hear what he has to say about that.
Millar, what do you think? I think he's great.
He's great.
He just tries to predict everything. He's right sometimes.
He's telling you all about the cover two coverages. And
he's the Thursday night guy, right?
No, he's not the Thursday. He's the Sunday.
He's the A guy for
CBS on Sundays. He's the A team.
Oh.
They got rid of Phil Simms, and like, everybody was pissed.
You'd think, like, Troy Aikman would be just as good, but Tony Romo's way better than Troy Aikman.
Oh, Troy Aikman's pretty
good. It's unbelievable. He's never done it.
Never done it. He's way better.
And he went out there, and he goes, and you'll hear, like, the quarterback start calling off cadences, and he's like, hear that? He goes, he's checking the coverage on the defensive end. If this guy does this, and he's just telling me, as a guy just watching the football game, the coverages that the quarterback is picking up on, and I'm telling you, a lot of the time the shit works. And then you'll see the guy do exactly what Tony Romo was saying. Now, people are always going, I don't know why it surprises you so much, DC, that a guy that just retired understands how to read coverages. He does, but he's actually allowing me to hear it and understand what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think I heard one game. I probably didn't know.
The problem with Nick is he can't pay attention that long to something like that.
Why, Nick?
His attention span is very short.
I got about 15 seconds in me. Sometimes those plays take 30 seconds to get off. So I got to check Twitter before, I can't listen and check Twitter at the same time.
He's doing like three different things at once while he's watching the football game.
It's like DC. DC, what we're talking right now is DC started sitting up in a chair. Now he's half under a blanket lying down.
I'm not under a blanket. It's just a pillow.
That gray thing's a pillow?
I like to get comfortable. It's not gray. It's like a blue. Like it's like a pattern looking thing. Like a gray pattern inside a pillow. It's weird. Like flowers. It's so not gray though.
A gray pattern inside a pillow with flowers. Dennis is Googling this right now.
It's a weird looking pillow. It's like one of them pillows. I think it might have been like somebody's grandmother's pillow or something. So it's like an older looking pillow. But it's comfortable.
Nice. You know what really just happened? No joking. Is Dennis's wife just texted him and said, "Hey, is everything good? Okay at the podcast?"
That no, never, she did.
Yes, she did. He just replied, "That's never happened before."
Why is she worried, Dennis?
Oh, you know. She's afraid I'm going to win the Darwin Award one of these days.
Oh my God.
Speaking of commentary, so what was the Connor got kicked out, right, for getting too close to the cage and yelling instructions? He was like, they said he was acting as a fourth cornerman. Is that? Do you think that's a real like? Really adding any value or should be something that people should do? Or don't people yell from the first row all the time?
Yeah, but I think what happened was he was standing up, right? And generally when you're sitting in that front row of seats, you aren't allowed to stand because of the people behind you, right? They want to watch, they want to get comfortable. And Connor was right behind the corner. So even John Kavanaugh and the coaches aren't allowed to stand because the commission will tell you to sit back in your seat. Every time I'm cornering the guys, I try to get up. And they're like, sit, because I get excited. Well,
why don't they want you to stand? Just because they think you're like one step closer to jumping in the cage or interfering somehow?
No, I just think they're trying to keep control. You know, you can't have guys jumping up and down in the corner trying to coach. You know, it would just be a mess, you know, so... they tell us to sit. So for a guy that's there as a teammate, but more, you know, he's a fan, to be up and down, walking back and forth and cornering the guy talking, the referee decided that it was out of order. And I don't think anyone from the UFC said anything. So it was up to the ref to tell him to sit down.
So what is
I was
it?
Like, who's he talking to? Then the broadcast guy said they were telling McGregor to sit down.
What is it? I mean, I don't know if you can even answer this question or even want to answer this question or if I can even get this question out without losing track of what I was saying. But Connor's had this amazing success and he's got his group of training partners, right? So
yep.
Lobov is Artem, whatever, is one of them, right? And so he, in a way, gets blamed for getting opportunities because he's Connor's training partner. He also is like, but he's seen the success like so close up. How hard is it for the guys in the gym that just aren't going to get there to be working just as hard as the guys that are going to get the championships and the riches and all that? And like, is it a weird dynamic? Like when you're training with guys and everyone knows at some point, this guy's not going to make a living off this. Is it weird or awkward at all?
So I think there's two trains of thought, right? So one is, when you you see it up close, right? It becomes reality. Because a lot of times, how can you dream something that nobody's ever done? So when Cain Velasquez became the champion of the UFC, me, Luke Rockhold, everybody thought, oh, wow, it can happen. We can do it out of our gym with our team.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that is probably the approach that most people take. You know, it's like, well, wow, you know, it can happen. You know, he's doing exactly what I've done. Why can't I be as successful? And that's that was the train of thought that we took. Obviously, with Cain, you we did start to receive some opportunities, you know, because he brought so many sponsorship opportunities, so much recognition to the gym that it helped all of us. But on the other hand, you can see a guy skyrocket, and if you're working just as hard, if not harder, and you're not having the same amount of success, then it's just something about that guy. You know, maybe that guy has something that you don't have in terms of appeal to the fans, or also we're just not all built the same. You know, that guy just may have a little bit of something extra that allows him to be Conor McGregor, whereas you just don't have that one thing that would make you a world champ. But you can't blame that guy. And I think the people that do blame that guy, they're cancers, man. They bring the whole team down.
Yeah. So I imagine everyone plays a role. Everyone plays a vital role in the team, even the guys that hit a ceiling. How often are guys aware of their ceiling? Like, say a guy.
Nobody.
Like,
nobody
even the guys
ever
that, is. The guys that aren't going to make it to the UFC, they've been fighting for a long time. They still think they're one fight away or a winning streak away.
Nobody ever knows, man. That's the sad reality of our sport. It never occurs to guys like, you know, this is just probably not going to be anything more than what it is and what it's been for X amount of years. So it's a sad reality for a lot of guys.
I guess
when it comes to fighting.
I guess a crazy sport, yeah, because in a team sport, someone else makes that decision for you. They say, hey, you're not playing. Hey, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's starting ahead of you, but in fighting, you just got to find one guy to fight. And then after that, you got to find another guy to fight. So it is, yeah. Yeah, I guess if it's what you want to be doing, then no matter how far you get, it was worth it. It's not like guys are being dragged into the gym and saying, hey, you're going to fucking keep fighting.
So here's the thing, though. Like, even guys that make it to local shows, they go fight in local shows and they fight 10 times and they never quite make it, you know? Hey, you still got to perform, right? You got to perform in front of thousands of people.
Still got the
adrenaline.
You
lived a dream that most people could never imagine. So
yeah,
I think we all have to be satisfied with what our careers are when they're over, because you can't change it, man. And all of our journeys are different. So you take it for what it is. You be happy for what you accomplished, and know that when you walk into that octagon, you did something that 90% of the world would not be willing or able to do. You know, so
probably a little higher than that.
Yeah, you just gotta be 99.9% confident and comfortable in your accomplishments and achievements.
It's a good answer. I think we probably lost more people than my joke, but.
It's the truth, man. I mean, you just got to be happy because
you can't change, right, Nick?
So think about it. How many business things have you tried? How many things have you tried to make hit? And how many have actually hit? There are businessmen in this world.
Most of them fail.
Most of them fail, right? But the one that does well is the one that you're known for, but you can be just as proud of the throne as you were for Zappos, even if, you know, the throne wasn't what Zappos was, you know? So it's like you have to just be happy with all the things that you chose to do.
Yeah, it gets easier as you get older, which is interesting about fighting, because a lot of the guys are young. And so you don't have the perspective. You're always like, you're not like appreciating what you're doing. You're comparing yourself. You don't get to look back until you get to look back. So I just thought that would be a that would be tough. Now Martavis Bryant is a good, it was an interesting example of like someone who, you know, he's a wide receiver for the Steelers.
Yep.
And he sent a message or a Instagram message or something to one of his teammates. So he'd lost some of his reps or some of his plays to a rookie wide receiver out of USC. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, basically sent a text that was saying to his teammate, saying, "That's bullshit. That guy's not even close to as good as me. Like, you guys can have him. Get me the fuck out of here."
Yes.
But that, which I'm sure happens a lot in locker rooms, happens all over the place. Probably happens in every athletic thing. Like, I'm better than him. Why is he getting more attention? Why are you favoring him? But it doesn't really happen very often where the whole world knows about it on an NFL team for a guy that's starting on a good team and make, you know.
But not even just that, though, with all the issues that Martavis has had.
Yeah.
Himself, because he's had issues. So the spotlight is much brighter, not only because he plays for the Steelers, but also because of the issues that he's had over the course of his career.
Yeah.
So my thought is this, right? So you're entitled to saying, look, I believe that I'm better. I should be receiving more playing time. But it's difficult when it becomes public knowledge, right? So they started saying stuff about either him or his agent texting, saying that he wanted out. You're entitled to that. But, man, they have guys Adam Schefter and Jay Glazer and all those guys. They get a hold of everything.
Yeah.
And it's when those guys start getting a hold of that stuff and they start reporting it, when it becomes not your issue directly with the organization, but the whole entire world starts to get a hold of it. And then, you know, when the information hits the world, it is turned around in 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 different ways. It's much different by time the world has its hands on it, as opposed to what you meant it to be when it was sent out.
Yeah, it's crazy too for football players, because, I mean, like Gordon Hayward's injury, thank God for him, he's got a guaranteed $130 million contract, right? So the competitor wants to get back to be healthy. You know, you want him to be healthy, but at the same time, at least his money is safe. Whereas football players, which is the most dangerous of the team sports, and they're the only ones without guaranteed contracts. If you're Martavis Bryant, you sat out last year or suspended last year, whatever it was, you definitely wouldn't want to do anything to make the, you know, risk. You only got a short career. So.
Yeah, but then Martavis Bryant is okay, you know, because the team hasn't turned, you know, and that's where you have to be careful, right? Just today, you know, it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then today Coach Tomlin actually said, you know what, he's not available. You know, he's not available for trade. So I think Mike Tomlin is just trying to throw some water on the fire, you know, like let's dead this right now before it gets even bigger, you know, because it's already big enough, you know. Let's try to dead this right now so it doesn't affect my team going forward.
They're a weird team because they're having all this turmoil. They're usually one of those teams that, like, you're jealous of because they got their shit together. They're always good. The coach keeps them all on the same page.
It's different. You know what I hated seeing the other day was the freaking Patriots, man, coming back together. You know, they were playing terrible, and I thought this was the year that they didn't compete for a championship. And in the last 2 weeks, here come the freaking Patriots again. Their defense all of a sudden is awesome, and Tom Brady's doing what Tom Brady does, and they're beating good teams, and I'm pissed off, man.
What about the Raiders?
I've got friends that are good, big Patriots fans, and I'm like, fuck, man, again, we got to deal with this shit. Drives me nuts.
I think we've been talking too much. What do you want to know about sports from Millar? What do you want to ask Millar? let's get some hot takes from Millar, and then Dennis a quiz on, like, how many teams there are NBA teams or something.
Give me time to Google, though.
Yeah.
What do you wonder about the world of sports? Oh, do you see that you just need some? You need an uneducated opinion about.
I need Millar to tell me, what does he think about the Saints? Tell me, What do you think about the Saints winning four in a row, Millar? Like, are we
all he's thinking is fantasy football right now?
Yeah, all I'm thinking
contender,
is fantasy football.
Millar, contender or pretender? The New Orleans Saints.
Pretender.
Why?
Their D is not that great. Right?
According to DC, they got the best defensive player in the league.
No. The D is not that great.
I didn't know they were in first place either.
How many points did they give to Detroit? Right? Didn't they? How many was it?
Was it 45-10 in the second half, and at one point it was 45-38.
See, you got to be able to shut that down.
But then last week against Green Bay, played better.
Hey. No Aaron Rodgers.
Ask the guy one question.
No Aaron Rodgers.
No Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, who they beat last week,
yes,
Green Bay?
Yes. Oh, no Aaron Rodgers. So they haven't played anyone yet.
I don't think we beat Cam Newton and the Panthers.
They're not good. They just lost to Chicago. Couldn't even score a touchdown.
Man, this is that Millar shooting holes in the Saints. I was all on the bandwagon. Dennis is wearing black today.
No, I've
got gold socks on.
I'll tell you right now, the Cowboys, they haven't beaten anybody either.
So you're telling me you feel like the Saints haven't beaten anybody? They beat Carolina.
Nobody.
They beat Green Bay.
Nobody.
They beat Miami.
Nobody.
Come on, Millar.
Come on. They haven't beaten anyone yet.
Who's got a better coach, the Saints or the Cowboys?
Oh, Saints. I hate our coach. Jason Garrett is an awful coach.
Oh, man. God. I think the Saints
Who did the Saints lose to?
Sean Payton is just a better coach.
No. Who did the Saints lose to?
The Saints lost to the Patriots.
Winning record.
And we lost to the Patriots, and we lost the first two games, the Vikings.
Winning record.
We lost to the Vikings, and then we lost to the Patriots.
So you've only beaten teams with losing records then.
Wait, is this true? This is like,
this is true.
Dennis and I sit here.
Except for Green Bay, which doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore.
And we listen
and
to everything
Lions,
he says.
The Lions don't have a losing record.
Everything
bro.
DC says,
the Lions are horrible anyways.
They're not horrible, bro.
Yes, they are.
They're not horrible. Millar.
They just made the playoffs for the first time in how long? Like 15 years, right?
Are we talking about football?
Yes, we are.
This guy's out of his mind, man. Why do you guys have me talking to Millar about football? This guy's only talking about.
He's like the fact checker. Me and Dennis are just sitting here believing all this stuff. I was like,
don't believe this
shit,
man.
Saints are in first place. They're dominant. And
no,
like,
who did the Saints play? Who did they play this week?
The Lions are 3-3. Panthers are 4-3.
Panthers are horrible.
Wait, who do the Saints play this week?
Who do the Saints play this week?
We play the Bears this week. Who, by the way, are on a two-game winning streak? They're not.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown. They scored two defensive touchdowns.
Well, let's have a challenge.
Their quarterback is a rookie quarterback who doesn't throw the ball hardly at all.
Let's have a challenge on the Saints game, and if Millar loses, then
well, the Saints are going
to
win this
week.
He has to because they play Chicago.
Eat hot wings.
What does he got to do?
But you just said that they beat the Panthers.
The Panthers are horrible.
Are good.
No,
they
they're
won
not.
Two games in a row.
The Panthers are not good. The Panthers lost last week to Chicago.
That's what I'm saying. The Panthers are good.
No,
they're
not.
They just lost Chicago. We're playing Chicago, who's won two games in a row.
No.
All right.
Chicago's good, bro.
No, they're not.
All right, mission accomplished. My joke
all right,
is
I'm
even
talking
better.
To Millar, bro.
my
He's out of his fucking mind.
It's just like when we played that poker tournament in the car dealership, and you're out before me. You're like, no, I was out way. I was in way longer
Millar,
than you are. No,
Millar.
You were out before
Millar,
me. My
wait, was DC the first
I
one
went
out
was because I fucking went all in with shit because I was just joking. I was tired.
Okay,
I wanted to drink some wine.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out, Millar.
So
you could never beat me.
You went out in the poker tournament on purpose.
I did. We were playing fucking fake chips.
No, we weren't.
We're in a dealership with fucking Maseratis and Bugattis and shit. We're playing for fake chips.
What someone brought a whoopee cushion and fart gas.
Yeah, I knew.
Come on, dude. Let's fucking play for some money.
All right. Speaking of money, what's the challenge? Let's give Dennis a challenge that will not involve pain. Dennis? Millar is going to name a basketball team, and you have to tell us their primary team color.
Okay.
Of their uniforms. All right. Let's see if you can get 6 out of 10. Millar is going to give you $50.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Go.
And that's it.
Ready?
Okay. Cool.
Let's ready?
Yeah.
Charlotte Hornets.
His ass is done.
Wait.
He's all. What color is a Hornet?
It's like a teal, isn't it?
Oh, wait a minute.
Is it a teal?
It's not teal.
What is it? Teal and purple, right?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
The main color is purple, though.
All right, that's one. So he's up one. He's up one. So 1-0.
Okay.
New Orleans Pelicans.
That's a tough one.
Yellow.
No.
No.
All right, one and one.
All right.
Milwaukee Bucks.
It's white.
This is easy, Dennis.
It's white, isn't it?
No.
No. White. You can't count white. Every team has white.
This guy's out of control, man.
So you're one. So you're one and two. You got to get five out of the next seven.
All right. Here we go.
All right. One and two.
What about the 76ers? Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, this is like
blue.
Yeah, I think that counts. Mm, two and two.
Man, he is cheating.
That's not cheating. That is not. Does that count?
He is cheating because you're just saying, what's their main color? But they've got like their colors aren't just one.
Okay,
color.
Okay, so let's make it two colors.
Yes.
Per team. All right.
Yes.
Don't so cheat. We'll call it 2-2. And now, from now on, it's two colors per team.
Okay, two
colors. All right, let's go.
Now, he might have been
0-4. Just like the wing challenge, right? We switch it right in the middle?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully, Millar's pocket hurts as bad as your stomach. All right, 2-2.
Okay, let's get a good one here. Toronto Raptors.
Toronto
Raptors.
It's not a team called Toronto Raptors.
DC.
Shh. It's Millar.
Brown and red. I don't know. I have no idea.
What team would be brown and red?
He's guessing, man.
It's my favorite colors.
All right, you're 2-3.
All right.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, I was looking at his phone because he can't remember any more teams.
No, I can remember. Indiana Pacers.
Is that red and blue?
This guy has no idea.
I have no idea.
2-4. One more and
Dennis
loses. One more and he's out.
Yeah, that's it.
Or are we done right now?
Houston Rockets.
That's easy.
Like red
and
yellow.
Yes.
Oh, you got one.
Back from the dead.
But I didn't say the Houston Rockets. Though.
That's all right. 3-4.
All right.
Orlando Magic.
Purple and black.
No. No.
What?
Black and blue. I like how he argues. I like how he's like, when we say no, he's like, what?
He's right. Like, what? He was so sure, he didn't even try to think about that one.
Right behind, right in front of Dennis on the wall is actually the Spurs, the Warriors, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Cavs.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't say the Pistons.
Hey, let me ask you this question, though. What do you think of the new sponsorships, right? The Harley Davidson on the Bucks and the Warriors have that Japanese sponsor, right? Or Chinese sponsor.
Yeah.
What do you think of these sponsors on the jerseys now? Does that bother you at all? What do you think?
It doesn't really bother me. I mean, you're used to it in soccer and other sports. I think aesthetically, like the Celtics got GE, so that was easy to make green or white, so it kind of blends in with the jersey a little more. I thought the Goodyear one, even though I think nothing Cavs is cool, it actually looks kind of cool on the jersey. The Warriors...
It does, right? It does look good on the jersey for the Cavs.
Yeah, the Warriors is red, so it kind of stands out a little bit. But, you know, they got the most money, so I guess they had to say, hey, you can make it red if you're going to pay us that much. I think the Lakers one looks a little weird. It just says Wish.
I think the StubHub one looks pretty good on the 76ers because it's the same blue and white color.
Yeah, and that was the first one.
Some of them just kind of fit, right? So the Bucks with the Harley Davidson...
I can't remember what the Kings have, but I think the Kings is a little weird.
Isn't it the grocery store?
It's something like where I just thought like, huh.
Blue Diamond.
Oh, the almond company. Huh?
Yeah, the almond company.
The Blue Diamond almonds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, but some of them just kind of work, right? So Walt Disney doing the magic and but that one on the Nets, I don't know what it is, but. It's like red and black. it's like red and white on a white or a black jersey. It doesn't look very good. So
it'll be interesting, right? Because I think only about half the teams have them. So you figure the other half either couldn't find a sponsor that was willing to pay whatever they were asking for, or they couldn't find a sponsor that was willing to pay what they were asking for that they actually wanted on the jerseys. So it'll be interesting to see next year if, like, the perceived value is so high that more companies come in, or the teams that don't have them just can't get them.
So now, since the season started, you're telling me they can't add the sponsor mid-season?
No, they still can, but I would guess that, you know, it's probably a little harder.
Hmm. That's, yeah. What about the jersey ripping off the back of LeBron James the other day? How crazy was that?
Yeah, it was because they were hyping up their, you know, hey, these new Nike jerseys are, like, they don't absorb moisture, and they're much more breathable or lighter or elastic or something than the Adidas ones, but, you know, then they break apart. But in a way, it's like probably that any publicity is good publicity. You know, everyone's talking about these Nike jerseys because it ripped.
The jerseys are nice. I mean, I think the Nike stuff looks good.
It does look good.
Also, it's like it feels like it should have always been Nike in basketball, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely looks like sleeker and cleaner. The weirdest one to me is baseball. The jerseys are like majestic. And I'm like, I guess probably kids still get majestic. Maybe those, like, you know, Little League pants are majestic or something, but, like, what exactly is majestic selling that makes it worth spending all this money to be the official jerseys of Major League Baseball? I guess it's probably just the jerseys, because I don't know what else you would buy that said majestic on it.
Just baseball jerseys.
Yeah.
I mean, in the pants. My son plays baseball, and the pants are majestic. The jerseys are, obviously.
So I guess they
sell a lot of baseball stuff. It's mostly a baseball company.
Youth market. So speaking of sales, what about GSP's Joe Rogan went out and said that the ticket sales for GSP and Bisbing were not selling as well as expected.
I've actually heard that myself too. I heard that it was going a little bit slower than before. Now, I think two things happened here. One, George has been away for a while, and I believe a lot of people will buy tickets the week of the fight. So I believe it'll pick up. But last year in New York, with Conor fighting, you could have prices that match the market, right? So you can just have the most expensive prices because it's New York City, it's Conor McGregor, and people are going to pay.
A short trip
if
for
the
that,
prices
right?
are the same for Bisping versus GSP, I'm not sure people are paying that as they would for McGregor fight.
Well, it's weird because, well, not weird, but McGregor has the, you know, for the Irish fans, that was the shortest trip they could go see him fight in a big city that, and also already has a big Irish population. GSP was always like Canada would turn out for him, but like,
yes,
I wonder
yes.
if after 3 years off, is Canada less excited? Or are they going to all come in at the last minute?
It's been 4 years. He fought 2013. Years.
Shit.
But I don't believe that. I believe it's going to sell. I just believe that more people are going to, by in the last week, also because of injuries, man. You know, a lot of times guys are getting hurt right before these cards
that's true
you don't happen
you don't pay the big
and
prices.
So people, yeah, you hold on to your money until you know everything's happening. And not only the McGregor factor, but also last year was the first time New York had ever hosted a UFC. That was like the biggest fight card that, you know, the UFC had put on for a while, you know. So It was a big one. All things came together for that first Madison Square Garden fight to be an early sellout. I believe this one will sell out. I just think that you're going to see a lot of ticket sales during the middle and the end of next week.
Do you think along with that, there was pictures of GSP's physique, and obviously he was always just so ripped and looked like a superhero. Now he kind of looks, I mean, he's getting older, and he's still super jacked and ripped, but he's not like GSP ripped. Do you think it's that'll happen during his cut? Is he just getting older?
Well, he's bigger. You got to think he's fighting 15 pounds heavier.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's true.
Putting on all that muscle, you're probably not going to look as lean, you know. So a lot of people will point to USADA and all that stuff, but I don't believe that. I believe that the fact is he's fighting up a weight division, and he had to put on,
I guess he doesn't.
I mean, they say George weighs 200 pounds right now.
Yeah, so he just doesn't.
He's never weighed that.
Get like that. What about so your Kane was in the news today for
yeah.
going off a little bit. What
Well, he just spoke the truth. You know, like, people are upset because of what happened with the Jones fight, and Cain's just a guy that's going to speak his mind.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you know, I love that he stood up for me, and he has my back. You know, he's one of my best friends in the world, and felt pissed off that stuff came out after that. Look, man, guys just want to fight, man.
Yeah.
Guys just want to fight and want to fight fair. You know? Let's just go compete. You know, that's what we love to do. We love to compete. Let's just go compete. May the best man win.
What's more troublesome to some? So obviously, in your scenario, you've been in the fight, been directly affected by it. But for an average fighter who hasn't or doesn't know that he's been personally affected by it, is steroids more of an issue where they're more worried about their opponent having an unfair advantage, or they're more worried about being labeled a cheat themselves when they aren't, because everyone just assumes everyone's on steroids because you get a high profile one? Do you guys talk about any of that shit, or am I just overthinking everything?
We don't really think about that, you know, because you got to remember, you know, I fought at a time, 2009, 10, 11, where there was no USADA and all that other stuff. So I'm sure there were a lot of guys I fought during my career that were doing things illegally. So I never really thought about it in those terms, but we don't really talk about steroids. Like, we don't.
So it's not as big.
We don't talk about that stuff, man. Like, we just want to go compete, right? We go to the gym, we try to get better, then we go fight. It's like, that's all we do.
Yeah.
What about that Till Cowboy fight last week? And I don't mean to change the subject, but
no, I think the subject was done.
Till Cowboy.
That was Till looked impressive.
He's so big.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's. Seems exciting. He seems like kind of the style that they need, and they always like to energize different fan bases. It's almost like he can take over from Bisping for the English crowd.
He's big. He's fast. He's strong. You saw early in that fight that he did not feel like Cowboy had anything for him, right? It just seemed from the very jump like he was just so confident that he was just walking Donald down.
It's weird, like when Dethrone started, right? And we were trying to find guys that, you know, hadn't gotten a ton of exposure, but that were really good. So you go talk to the managers and the coaches and say, hey, who does everyone in the gym know is going to be really good? It's almost like I felt like maybe it must have been one of those scenarios where everyone on the outside is like kind of with Cowboy, like, who the hell is Darren Till? But I figured within the community, there's got to be guys like that where everyone's like, yeah, no, because it's like they go take out these big names and it feels like a mismatch to everyone from the outside. But I remember I just remember it's always weird how there's like this group of people that their opinion is more valuable that all know certain things. I'm not saying everyone in the know thought, oh, this guy's going to, you know, finish him that quickly. But I always think it's an interesting sport where everyone gets so much attention, but there's still guys that can feel like they came out of nowhere, which is really why we should be betting on fights more often, right? Dennis, yeah, we should be
for
like,
sure.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy, though? Like, obviously at a different level, but like when I remember you were sponsoring Cain when you went to the Lesnar fight, and people were actually thinking that Brock was going to beat Cain. But you knew from being around the gym and the people in there going, this guy really has no chance to beat Cain, right? It's like that same situation.
That's the perfect example. Like, you're sitting there, there's everyone on the outside going, Brock Lesnar's going to kick his ass, and then you can't find anyone who fights or has been around the gym that thinks there's any chance Cain's going to lose. And it's like such a weird contradiction of like, and you start second-guessing it yourself going, is everyone fucking crazy? Because like, this doesn't, you know, it's weird. It's weird on such like social media age and like such a visible sport and all that, but you can still get
varying opinions.
Yeah.
I just saw that fight actually 2 days ago. I rewatched
Lesnar
one? Yeah, just watched it because it was one of my favorite ones.
I remember I had seats, but I was getting so excited that I walked up the little aisle closer, and I was right in the middle of a Jax Link section, and I just had like. Like, everyone, like, there was, like, 20 people around. We've all, like, Jax Links guys wearing the Lesnar t-shirts. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it was awesome. But But it is, it's actually the weird thing too, is every time you think like, oh man, where is the next generation going to come from? They're always coming. Sometimes it takes they longer. Are. Sometimes it comes in different weight classes. Sometimes it's this, but there's always going to be a next generation.
Of course, man. And they're just getting better and better and better, right? So Darren Till shows an ability to control range with his height and his length that most guys didn't do early, right? When you look at some of the younger guys now, you know, Cody Garbrandt doing what he did to Dominic Cruz, that was insane. It's like you see these guys and it's like, man, where did this dude come from? Like, where did he come from? I knew he would be good, but he's better than I ever could have imagined, you know? So
yeah,
you watch him and it's just development across the board. The women, they're getting so much better than they were initially.
Yeah.
Joanna Janjacek is just a killer. She's a killer. And she's fighting Rose Namajunas next week. And Rose is just as good. It's just insane how much this sport is evolving. And as much as we put these people up on the pedestal, somebody else is coming too.
Yeah.
You know, there is a kid right now working that when that kid's ready, we're all going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and then if you get the right talent combined with the right personality, then it's like lightning in a bottle.
It's lightning in a bottle.
I saw
Instagram. That don't happen often, though.
No. I saw an Instagram post today. It was, I don't know if it was by her or someone else, but it was Joanna, like, sitting in the back of a car just, like, shoveling spinach in her mouth. Like, she had this big bowl of spinach, and it was like, this is how champions are made, or this is what it takes to be a champion. And I was sitting there, I was eating a giant fucking quesadilla while I was browsing this, and I was like, fuck, is this just for fighting, or is this true in life? Like,
she's being Popeye.
Yeah, that was funny, though.
Did you sit there kind of thinking, well, I guess I'm not a champion?
No, I looked inside, and there were some jalapenos in there, and I'm like,
it's green.
Checked off the veggies.
That is awesome.
All right, cool. Well, is Millar going to be invited back after the anti-Saints slander?
Let me tell you something.
The truth
hurts.
There's
a slight chance that he may come back, but we'll only have him here in segments because this guy's out of control.
Oh, we did.
I feel like he came in here with an idea made up in his mind to just go head to head with me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The only reason we had him on was to get that little giggle so we could use it as a soundbite. And it took us fucking almost an hour, but we got it.
But Nick, he had no points.
No.
He had no valid points as to why.
I just gave you valid points.
My team's
points.
Horrible.
Nick, did you understand my points?
I was a little. I was surprised. I always look at the Saints now, and I looked up. I'm like, what the fuck? The Saints are in first place. They're 4-2.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't thought about. Until he pointed it out. Well, Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing, and you know these things. So what I gathered from today was, the Saints are the worst first place team there's ever been.
Correct.
I fucking hate all you guys.
Hold on. One last question. Double or nothing. Yep. Dennis, what colors are the New Orleans Saints?
Gold and black.
Yes.
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 Of course he knows that.
Millar owes him $100 now.
Yes. Millar owes Dennis $100.
Sweet.
That's just money back owed to Dennis from that freaking wing challenge.
I won't cover the ambulance right now.
How does that work? Does that get on insurance? Or do you have to pay for it?
Yeah, my deductible's not that great. I was about a $5,000.
Is that how much an ambulance costs?
Are you serious?
I think ambulances are like $8,000, but my deductible is all the way up to $5,000. So.
Shit. So we need to think of some kind of Dennis ambulance fund on the podcast.
Oh, my God. You got to do something.
It's all right.
I know a guy.
We're going to sell DC autographs all over the place. DC's going to just be signing
Nick
every day
probably,
going,
Nick
fucking
should
Dennis.
Probably pay
signing
for
hot wings.
I'm not doing that shit.
I'm going to pawn
Boys,
that Warriors
it's
ring.
It's been fun. It's been fun as it always is. Millar, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed myself. I got to
people
talk to you.
People tend to like listening to us, and I don't quite understand why.
No. I know that, yeah.
But they do.
Yep. They like to point out that DC's smooth and the other two are – what do people always say, the other two guys are fumbling all over their words, DC, but you're sounding good.
Hey.
But he put that in their head by saying we were heavy on episode one.
What about the boy Nick? The boy Nick is right in the process, guys. Of negotiating our first sponsorship, Nick, make it happen.
That's true.
Make it happen, Nick. Make it happen. What's taking
no
so
smoke
long?
Eaters,
no, no, no grooming. No grooming in the next week because we might have to do some waxing.
Hey, oh, there it is. We're going to wax Dennis. We're
going to
wax Dennis's chest.
I'm hairless.
We can wax something else instead of Dennis.
Dennis is going to lay on that thing.
That went weird.
Jeez. Dennis, don't shave your chest this week. If we get this sponsor, you will lay on the table, and we're going to fucking just wax that shit clean off.
We'll see. We will see.
Nick, come on, man. Get this sponsorship done. Big boy got to eat.
All right.
He's still here starving.
Let's do it. Let's let Dennis do the outro today, just because we're glad that he's back.
We're glad that
he's back, and it's not just us sitting here talking about. I mean, this could have been an episode all in remembrance of Dennis, right? And so the fact that he's here is great. We didn't have to go through that.
Dennis, take us home, and then fade to black.
Let's see if the outro works better than the intro. All right. Well, you guys start the music.
Well, I can't right now, but.
How come you can't?
Why not?
Well, this is. How does it go? I never pay attention to the outro.
Wing it. Let's go.
Well, this is it. DC, Nick, Dennis, and Millar. Talking Talker. See you next week.
Oh.